Would you please stand as we prepare to read from the Word of God. In this particular section, we have to realize that Paul has a message not only in here, but in this chapter, but throughout the book, and a message that the way we receive God's favor is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. And in this particular section, Paul wants to tell the Galatians that his message of grace through faith in Christ was a message that had been given to him directly from God Himself. Hear the Word of God, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and following. Paul says to the Galatian believers, he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, or Cephas, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, saying the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me." May God open our eyes to His Word and strengthen our hearts. Please be seated. How do we know Paul's message of grace through faith in Jesus Christ has been given to us from God? Paul, in a certain sense, you may say, wanted the people to consider three questions. In effect, he wanted them to consider these things regarding whether his message had been given from the Lord. The questions were something like this: what was I like before getting involved in Christianity? What was Paul like before he was involved in Christianity? And how did he become involved in Christianity? Thirdly, what did others think after Paul's new involvement in the Christian faith? Some of you have seen the Mountain Dew commercial with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the superstar retired professional basketball player. And this commercial goes something like this. I might not have it all right correct, but the gist of it is, the question asked to this retired basketball player: how would you like to be on 6 championship teams? And this professional's response: been there. How would you like to play in 14 All-Star games? Tried that. How would you like to win 3 Most Valuable Player awards? Done that. What about winning some neat prizes from drinking Mountain Dew? Never tried that. You know the commercial. The Judaizers were a Jewish sect, trying to get these new Gentile Christians to try out their old form of Judaism. They wanted these new believers to try on something else in addition to Jesus. The Judaizers wanted them to trust in Jesus plus be circumcised, or perhaps follow some other old Jewish traditions in addition to trusting in Christ. Trusting Jesus wasn't enough in the eyes of the Judaizers. And so Paul's response to them was, been there, tried that, done that. Paul had done it all. And this is the conclusion that he had reached, that God gives us His grace through trusting in Jesus Christ plus nothing else. God gives you His grace today through trusting in Jesus Christ plus nothing else that you can do. And Paul's main point was that this message throughout the entire book of Galatians, this message had been given to him by the Lord Himself. It was a message from God to the Galatians. And so you see his main point in verses 11 and 12. A message not only to the Galatian Christians, but an important message to us. Paul says, I want you to know, look at verse 11. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. To paraphrase Paul, my book, my gospel of grace through faith in Christ, my gospel comes to you directly from our divine Lord. How do we know Paul's message of grace through trusting in Christ comes to us from God? In effect, Paul more or less asked three questions, or wanted them to consider three avenues of thought. What was I like before I got involved in Christianity? Try to figure out how I became involved in Christianity. And then think about what did others think after my new involvement in Christianity. Paul argues his case in effect by having them consider these lines of thought. First of all, what was I like before getting involved in Christianity? Look at verses 13 and 14. He says, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Paul says, what was I like before I got hooked up with Christ? He says this, I was like this, I was thoroughly Jewish. I was thoroughly Jewish. Verse 14. He says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Paul was the ideal Jewish religious person. He was the creme de la creme, if you will, the cream of the crop. He was the optimal Jewish religious person in a certain sense. To use some old music lyrics, Paul was king of the hill. He was top of the heap. A number one. Paul was a committed member to the Jewish congregation. And it's my understanding that someone's estimated there were like 300 plus synagogues scattered in and around Jerusalem during the time of Apostle Paul, the time of Christ, in that general period. And any one of these congregations would have been pleased and excited to have Paul to be a part of their congregation. Paul, as a member of the congregation, was a committed Jew. He was committed to Judaism. He wasn't just some nominal religious person, as many of us are here, today in our society where we perhaps are born into a Christian family, or maybe we've even made a profession of faith in Christ, and we just kind of like, well, today we'll live for the Lord and tomorrow we won't. Paul was committed. He was a committed Jew. And we can all learn something about commitment when we look at Paul's previous life, or life. Not that he necessarily was committed to the right things, but he had a zeal. And he was a thoroughly Jewish follower. He was devoted to his forefathers' traditions, as we see here in the 14th verse. Extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was familiar with the long-standing Jewish practices, and he endorsed them conceptually, and he attempted to carry them out in his practice. He wasn't just born Jewish. He practiced the tradition into which he was born. Philippians 3:5 says this, and you're familiar with it probably, in a similar context, speaking against the Judaizers. Philippians 3:5, Paul says, I was, quote, circumcised on the eighth day. That's the exact day that it should have been in the Old Testament economy. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But then we see in verse 13, Paul quit. Paul quit. Look at verse 13. You have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. Verse 14, he says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age. But he quit. Dropped out. You know, sometimes you're reading through the paper and you'll see a picture of a candidate for West Point. You know, it's difficult to get into West Point. And I think I learned growing up that senators apparently have something to do with these appointments, appointing people to get into the academy. But can you imagine a man or a young man aspiring to get into West Point, and finally the man gets accepted, put his picture in the paper, and he's all excited about it. And he does well, he aspires well on these tests, and he passes his first year and does well and is rising to the top of the class, goes on to the next year and is rising up, and he's moving in closer and closer to graduation. He does well in his training exercises and is rising to the top. And all of a sudden, they're just about ready to commission him to be an officer. And he quits. He leaves the academy. One of the top students drops out and doesn't even accept the commission that was ready for him. In a similar way, Paul was on his way up the ladder of Judaism. He says in verse 14, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age. He was advancing in power. Paul was advancing in status. He was advancing in recognition and influence. And suddenly he quit and left it behind him. He'd been there. He told the Galatians, been there. I'd done that. Tried that. And now I'm leaving it behind. The Judaizers were bringing it in again. And these Judaizers wanted the people to take up these practices of Jewish leftovers, you might say, and probably a lot of things that weren't even in the Bible, just in their traditions, that they wanted them to latch on to, in addition to Christ, to really cut the mustard and to be first class believers, in a sense. Besides quitting, notice that besides being pro-Jewish, that Paul was very anti-Christian. It wasn't just that he was pro the Jewish tradition, but he was anti-Christian. Look at verse 13. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Paul was intensely opposed to Christianity. Do you know anybody like that? There are people out there, though Madeline O'Hare, is that her name? Types. And maybe some more less well-known types in and around our midst. Well, Paul's aim was to erase Christianity from the face of the earth. And we see some of the details of verse 13 coming out in Acts chapter 8, where we find this is the kind of Paul we had. His name then was Saul in his past. In Acts 8:3, it says, quote, "But Saul," that is Paul, "began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison." When Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned, we find this, quote, "The witnesses," that is those throwing the stones, "laid their clothes at Saul's feet." And what was Saul doing? And Saul was there giving approval to his death. Paul was cheering him on as they were killing the first Christian believer, the first person who put his faith in Christ publicly, as recorded in the Bible. I mean, the first one to be put to death. Paul was there cheering it on, saying, "Amen! Throw another stone." In Acts chapter 9, it gives us more detail of Paul's previous life. What was he before he got involved with Christianity? What was he like? In Acts chapter 9, verse 2, it's, quote, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," that is Christianity, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Paul was going to get, apparently had enough influence, enough power at that point, to just go and ask the high priest and say, "Hey, sign this so I can take off a few heads of these Christians. I can put them in jail." And he gets a letter of authorization. And he's on his way up to on the road to Damascus to go to the synagogue. And it wasn't to preach. It was to find out if anyone was teaching about Christ, anyone was believing in this person they called Christ. And Paul was going to haul him off to jail. So Paul says, "Think about my past. I was not only thoroughly Jewish, I was thoroughly anti-Christian." Paul saw absolutely no need for Jesus in his life, or no need for Jesus in the life of anybody else. I think that's where much of our society is today. They see no need for Jesus in their lives, especially not in the lives of Americans here. How then did Paul become involved in Christianity? What happened to turn him around? After all, we have at least 13 letters in the Bible from Paul. Something must have happened. People just don't dramatically turn their lives around. Something changes them. Events occur in and around our lives and we're changed. For example, I've always been struck by the story of Jan Gardner, who was very much pro-abortion, very much against the pro-life movement. And as some of you know, she was a main leader in the pro-choice, or should we say pro-abortion movement. And preparing a slide presentation in her home to give one of these talks. And so she's putting the slides up on the wall and preparing this talk. And one of the slides was a picture of a fetus that had been aborted. And so you could see the parts of this fetus on the wall. And this pro-abortion leader was there in a room, and her little child walks in, perhaps 3 or 4 years old. And she asks her mom a question. Looking at the slide, she says, "Mommy, who broke the baby?" And Jan Gardner was changed. She saw not just a fetus and some parts up there scattered around. She saw a baby, a human being, a precious little child for the first time. And that event changed her. So she became a leader, not against the pro-life movement, but a leader for the pro-life movement, a leader for these unborn children. In the same way, something happened to Paul. No longer was he working against Christianity. He was now working for it. What happened to turn him around? We see it in verses 15, 16. He says, "When God, who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles." We see it also in verses 12. He says he received revelation from Christ. Christ had been revealed to Paul on the road to Damascus as he was walking up there with these letters of approval in his hand to take some prisoners out of the church, out of the synagogue. The old phrase, "I saw the light." That's what happened. He saw the light for the first time. The Lord Jesus, in a sense, opened up heaven in a way which we probably never will see in this day and age, but He opened up heaven, and the Lord revealed Himself to Paul, saying, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" Acts chapter 9. And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And from here on in, from that event, Paul's life was changed. He was turned around. In the same way, some of you can backtrack when your life was changed. Me, I can go back to June of 1973. The heavens didn't open up, but the Lord, in His quiet way, took the scales off my eyes and helped me to see that it was Jesus that I needed. I didn't think I needed Him until that day. I finally realized it. Many of you could give testimony to something happened into your life. You were changed. And the Lord has turned you around to see your need for the Lord. And not only that, that you promote Him among other people. That you live for Him and attempt to share His Word with others and their need for Christ. How did Paul become involved in Christianity? It was through an encounter with Christ. And Paul makes a special point that he did not come to Christ in a more traditional manner. You know, usually, what's one of the first things you do when you meet another believer? You ask them almost fairly soon in the conversation, "How did you come to know Christ? How did you get involved in Christianity?" And typical answers will be, "Well, my mother led me to the Lord at an early age," or "My Sunday school teacher taught me about trusting in Christ," or maybe some of you went to a Billy Graham crusade. Some of you, your friends have directed you to put your faith in Christ. Some of you have gone away to Christian camp and you've seen that you're a sinner and you need to trust Christ for forgiveness. That He alone is the only one who's going to be able to help you. For whatever, all these traditional ways, Paul didn't go through any of these ways. It wasn't any of these normal routine things, and it wasn't even the apostles who were so instrumental for leading many people to Christ. In fact, at Pentecost, Peter was preaching and teaching about Christ, and he led 3,000 people that day, turned to the Lord. Of course, they had many miracles that were going on, and the world was being turned upside down in a sense. And so you can understand why people's lives were being affected by the apostles and others who were proclaiming Christ. But Paul was not one who had come to Christ in that way. How then did it happen? Well, just as Jesus had handpicked and hand appointed 12, He did the same with the 13th and the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. That's what we see in verses 17 to 21. He says, "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stay with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. How did Paul become involved in Christianity? It had to be the Lord Himself. The Galatians could look around and try to track it down, and they wouldn't be able to find anyone who had brought Paul to the Lord. What else did Paul want them to consider? He says, "What did others think after my new involvement in Christianity?" If Paul had a valid gospel that we're saved by trusting Christ alone, he wanted them also to consider not only what he was like before he trusted in Christ, and not only that, but also what happened after he put his faith in Christ. What did others think after his new involvement in Christianity? Look at verses 22 to 23. He says, "I was personally unknown to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, 'The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy,' and they praise God because of me." What did others think after Paul's new involvement in Christianity? Early Christians found Paul's message acceptable. They saw it as the same message he was trying to destroy, but now he was preaching it. Well, they saw it as one and the same. They also saw the message that he was preaching was encouraging to them. We say in verse 23, "They heard that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. The same faith he's preaching it, and they praise God because of me," Paul says. Early Christians recognized and accepted Paul's message. You know, it's impossible to change somebody. I think most of our wives or husbands, they kind of tell us that. It's difficult to change a person. Paul was changed, and people noticed the change, and they were thrilled about how he was changed. He was changed to lay hold of a message that he was preaching, that you are saved by grace through faith in Christ. And that's what he was telling the world, and the people were thrilled about that. You know, I think it's unusual, especially for men to change, especially for a man to admit he's wrong. When's the last time you heard a man say that he was wrong? Paul was a man, and he admitted his need for Jesus Christ. And he was telling others that you need the grace of Jesus Christ plus nothing. But don't forget it. And this is a message that was given to him from God Himself. And the early Christians were praising the Lord because of that. And so he reminds the Galatians, "Don't forget how other people were grateful that I was preaching this message." And they had accepted that message and saw it as being one from the Lord. You see, Paul knows. Paul says, in effect, you know, in other places, that you can never obey enough, folks. You can never obey enough. You can never keep the rules enough in this book. There are a lot of rules, a lot of guidelines, and we can't keep them enough, can we? We know that. Standard's too high, and it's there too constant, and we can't come up to it. And you can never follow religious practices and traditions far enough or long enough or good enough. And Paul knows. Paul said, in effect, "I've been there, I've done that, I've tried it. But God Himself showed me something better. God Himself showed me some good news. God Himself led me to the true gospel." You need God's grace today. That's what you need, and I need. We need to keep trusting in Jesus Christ, plus nothing else. Keep going back to Him, plus nothing. He's all that we need. And we've got to rely upon Him alone, plus nothing else. Our Lord's grace is fresh and new every morning for those of you who are willing to trust Him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You that it is fresh and new every morning for those of us who trust You. Help us not to look anywhere else except to You. Thank You that Your grace is sufficient. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.